This is Fresh Air. The National Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association opens its first national conference tonight in San Francisco. The sessions will address how the mainstream press covers gay issues and the problems gay journalists often face in the newsroom. My guest is the founder of the group, Roy Ahrens. He's the former executive editor of the Oakland Tribune and the former West Coast and New York correspondent for the Washington Post. Tomorrow morning, the conference will present a video message from the new publisher of the New York Times, Arthur Sulzberger Jr. Aaron says Sulzberger's participation is a sign of how the New York Times has changed.
The New York Times has undergone what almost amounts to a revolution in the last several years, and particularly now with the young Sulzberger taking over as the publisher. I have a text of video address that is going to be given tomorrow, and it's astonishing. I could give a couple of quotes from it that I think are very interesting.
Sure, go ahead.
We need to find the courage to cover the world the way it is. We must offer our readers coverage of the broad gay community, its people, and its issues. While coverage of the AIDS epidemic is crucial, we must move beyond the shroud of AIDS in our writing about gays. Lesbians are almost invisible in news coverage. Only through responsible coverage of your world, coverage that goes beyond sexuality and disease, will we begin to overcome the fear that too many straight people have about gays and lesbians. He also acknowledges that for many years, gays and lesbians at the Times lived in fear. And he says that we must assure that all gays and lesbians at the Times have the same degree of freedom and privilege as do straight people, and that includes health insurance and other benefits for partners. So he's making a little news there.
Mm-hmm. Why did you think that a National Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association was needed?
Well, I started from a kind of neutral place here. I was very busy as executive editor of the Oakland Tribune, trying to run a newspaper, when the American Society of Newspaper Editors asked me to coordinate a landmark survey, the first time they'd ever attempted to do this, about gays and lesbians working in the newspaper industry. I guess the reason I was asked is that besides being a ranking editor, I was also out, at least in my own news operation. And they needed to have somebody who could locate gay journalists who'd be willing to participate in the survey. So I set up a team, and we began to do that, I think rather successfully. And we did it by telephone calls, by word of mouth, by posting flyers in newsrooms, and I began to develop, for the first time in my life, a network of personal contact with gay and lesbian journalists on newspapers all over the country. And among other things, what I began to hear was a desire to connect. I called one journalist at the Providence newspaper who had heard about this, called me and was terribly excited about it, as were most of the journalists. And then he said, "Do you know anybody else at my newspaper?" And I said, "Yeah, I do, but I can't tell you because of this whole confidentiality thing." And he said, "God, is there some way that we can begin to link up and connect?" So that planted the idea in my mind. Then I delivered the results of the survey, which showed fairly predictably that there was homophobia in the newsrooms, that gay journalists perceive their own institutions doing a mediocre job in general on coverage, and that they had a sense of isolation and living in the shadows. When I delivered the results of that survey to the gathered editors, my editor peers in Washington in 1990, I had to make a decision. Do I come out publicly nationally or do I not? And I'm happily, in retrospect, I made a decision to say, yes, I'm a gay man and an editor, and I'm proud of ASNE for accomplishing this.
ASNE is the American Society of Newspaper Editors, who commissioned the study.
Yes. And that made me even more of a kind of a magnet for letters and phone calls and people saying, let's do something about this. We need to talk to one another. And that was the genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Very short time ago, actually, less than a year and a half, when we, a few of us, five or six of us, got together in my dining room and created the National Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association. We thought we were being pretty presumptuous at the time, but the growth has been amazing.
Are there people who are reluctant to join because joining might bring them a step closer to being out? I mean, your name's on a mailing list. You're getting mailings with the return address saying National Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association.
We're very careful to protect confidentiality. The return mailing, Frank says NLGJA rather than spelling it out. We're trying to be very, very cautious. We've grown rapidly to 500 paid members on a mailing list of about 700 to 800. Now, that's only a fraction of the gay and lesbian journalists working in the industry. I have to assume that in addition to people who still don't know about it, there are a lot of people who are still afraid to join.
Do you think that there are any unique problems that a journalist has in coming out?
Yes, there are. One is there are possible career implications. Secondly, there is the question of perception. They face the possibility that it may be seen as representing some kind of a special interest. And they struggle with this issue, the advocacy versus the objectivity. And it's a new experience because while Afro-American journalists banded together in associations 15, 17 years ago, Hispanics and the rest, gays and lesbians are just experimenting with this. I think what they're beginning to learn is that they need to make the argument that they insist upon being seen as professionals who've been in this business for years and years, doing competent, excellent jobs with high professional journalistic standards. That does not end just because you come out and be totally who you are.
My guest is journalist Roy Ahrens. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Roy Ahrens, founder of the National Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association. You decided to come out nationally when you were giving the results of the survey that you were commissioned to do. Was that a hard choice?
It was a difficult choice. I had come out in 83 at my own newspaper in the Tribune when I came on to my first job there. That was a tough move as well because I'd been in journalism for 34 years now. And 24 of them, I lived as a closeted person and a closeted professional, living in fear that someone would spot me going into a bar and that it would have some impact on a kind of personal rejection or perhaps some career implications. In making that decision before hundreds of peer editor colleagues, the night before I was to give deliver the findings, the text of my statement did not have my coming out statement in it. I woke up the next morning and began to think, here I am talking about other gay and lesbian journalists living in the shadows, and I'm going. I just can't walk up there and pretend that I am something that I'm not. So I added the words that I described before at the end, and interestingly, there was a subtext that kind of echoed internally for me, reflexively. Which was, here I am, world, all of me at last. So I have to tell you that these are not easy decisions, both in terms of professional issues and in terms of personal issues.
I'm thinking coming out when you did might have been really different experience for you than for instance, a young reporter, because you're more advanced in your career. You're kind of in the establishment. You were in the establishment part of the press as an editor of a paper, not a reporter slowly, on the rise. You know what I'm saying?
You're absolutely right. Yeah, I felt pretty safe about it, actually. I was living in California, in Northern California. I was nurtured and sheltered by my boss, my newspaper. And as a matter of fact, I got very, very little negative reaction. One of my concerns in doing that was I'm the editor of the paper, I'm a policymaker. Is it going to change the way in which I'm perceived in the way in which the paper is perceived? And I was very pleasantly surprised to see that the public reaction was not negative. I think it is more difficult for young reporters, and they've asked me, students coming out of college thinking of trying to get into the profession, they want to know, do I put something on my resume that I'm gay or I belong to gay organizations? Put a code word out there so people will know, or do I not? And I said, it has to be an individual decision. It depends, what environment you're entering, what city, what area, and when to come out has got to be everybody's individual decision. I think that one of the things that our organization does not do is to try to apply inordinate pressure to influence anybody to make that step.
Mm-hmm. What led you to come out in 83 at the Tribune, where you were an editor, before you came out beyond that?
Yes. Moving to California, moving into a new job, I had become involved in a very happy one-on-one relationship with a spouse a couple of years before that. I had gone through a personal transformation where I had dealt with much of the self-esteem and self-hatred and the internalized homophobia issues that most gays have to go through. And I just felt that that I could not start this new life, this new job, and continue to do the kind of thing that I had done before. So shortly after I came to the newspaper, I held a cocktail reception at my home, and standing at the door beside me was Joshua, and it was quite obvious to everybody, and that was the end of it.
I'm interested in your critique of press coverage of gay issues as a journalist yourself. Let's start with language. I mean, I was reading a few press clips in which you were mentioned, and one of them said, Aaron's an acknowledged gay. Do you like that kind of an acknowledged term? You know, an acknowledged homosexual, an acknowledged gay.
Yeah, no, I don't particularly like it. It's like an acknowledged felon. there's a lot of those kinds of terms that I think we have some work to do on. Whenever anybody's involved in a love affair, it's called a homosexual love affair. We don't talk about heterosexual love affairs. And if it's obvious in the context of the statement, there's no necessity for that. So I think there is a certain sensitivity. We try to stay away from overstressing political correctness in terminology, but I think that just as editors have become educated and had their consciousness raised about what feels good to other ethnic minorities and to women, it should not be difficult to make that transition, I think, in the press, and that's one of the things we work on.
I'm wondering if in this group that you created, if you feel that there are a lot of journalists who are much more radical in their approach to gay issues and gay rights than you are, and if so, how you feel about that, if that makes you uncomfortable or not.
Well, I guess that there probably are journalists in our group who would view me as being someone on the conservative side of the spectrum. And we've had discussions constantly within our organization, and I think these are legitimate discussions as to, how do you serve your role as a member of your journalistic craft and at the same time deal with your responsibility to these issues. I have to say that I probably started out a lot more conservative than I am now in building the organization with the many colleagues who have helped to do this, work together with them, and in exposing myself to a lot of information and a lot of study and examination that I hadn't before. I think that it's moved me a little bit toward the left and perhaps some of my colleagues a little bit more toward the center.
What issues do you feel you've moved on?
Well, I think that I've begun to get a broader perspective on the role of a gay journalist in the press. I think that to hide behind the notion of objectivity in the face of injustice seems to me to be just that, to be hiding. I think that one of the traditions of journalism is to fight injustice, to work in behalf of the underdog. And I guess the other thing that's been happening to me is the more I read about and experience and watch the effort to force gays back into the closet, the fact that homosexuality is one of the last places where scapegoating is considered permissible, I start to feel some passion about this that may have been suppressed before, to be perfectly honest with you.
Sunday is the Gay Pride Parade, and you're based in San Francisco. Are you the parade type? Will you be marching?
I will be marching in the parade behind the NLGJA banner. This will be the first time in my life I've ever marched in the parade.
So that, I guess that will be a significant experience for you.
I knew you were going to say that. It's going to be a big moment for me. I've come to the conclusion in my own mind that the time is right to do that. The Gay Pride Parade really has become a cultural celebration, and it's just what it is. It's pride, and it's a statement of identity, and I have no problem with that. In fact, I look forward to it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you. It was very enjoyable. I appreciate it.
Roy Ahrens is the founder of the National Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association. Their first national conference opens tonight in San Francisco. This is Fresh Air.